بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا العبد المؤيد والرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الغر الميامين. My dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. قال الله العظيم في محكم كتابه، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. For Muslim men and women, for believing men and women, for devout men and women, for a true man and woman, for men and women who are patient and constant, for men and women who humble themselves, for men and women who give in charity, for men and women who fast and deny themselves, for men and women who guard their chastity, and for men and women who engage much in God's praise, for them has God prepared forgiveness and a great reward. What an excellent testimony from the Quran that shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equates between men and women. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly places both men and women in one status. The believing man and woman, the Muslim man and woman, the patient man and woman, the humble man and woman. Many scholars say that on the reason of the revelation of this specific verse, a lady came to the Prophet and she says, Ya Rasulallah, O you the Messenger of Allah, I read Quran and I found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about only man, only good man, good believer man, good Muslim man. There isn't significant mention of woman in Quran. Now, before I go on to tell you the rest of the story, I have to make a comment. Every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe, Allah includes men and women. Yes, it looks like that Allah is speaking about men only. But in reality, every term in Quran that refers to those who believe, it includes both men and women. It's not confined only in men. This is a mistake that some of us would do, thinking that when Allah speaks about الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe, Allah only speaks about those, the only men who believe. Or when Allah speaks about الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا, those who struggle in the way of Allah, some believe that Allah is speaking about men. No, that's not the case. Allah does not speak only about men. Allah speaks about both men and women who believe, who fast, who do jihad and struggle in the way of Allah. Now, that was the impression in the mind of this lady when she approached the Prophet, asking him, how come Allah does not mention specifically and openly believing women, fasting women, observant women, patient women, or women who are patient? Now this ayah was revealed. So it leaves no place for any confusion. إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. The Muslim men and women, the believing men and women. وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ. Men and women who offer their supplication to Allah. وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ. True men and true women. Till the end of the ayah, Allah speaks about both. For them, Allah had prepared a great reward. أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً. Great forgiveness and a great reward. وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. The reason that prompted me to choose this subject, women in Islam, tonight, is, my dear brothers and sisters, the issue, the controversy that we hear about. You know, today there was an incident that took place in New York, where a lady who is majored or specialized in Islamic studies led a mixed congregational prayer, the Friday prayer. She led that salah. And what the way they interpret that, they justify a woman leading the prayer, is by saying that, well, this is a proof that Islam equates between men and women. We're too liberal, we're too open-minded here in America, and then we want to set an example for other Muslims in the world to show them that women, Muslim women, are so progressive in the United States that a Muslim woman can lead congregational prayer. Now, I want to examine this claim. We want to see if that's true or not. And whether or not, when a woman leads the prayer, this is an evidence of woman being so progressive in Islam. First of all, my dear brothers and sisters, if you read the Quran, this holy text, and compare it with other texts, you find Quran so objective, dealing so objectively with the subject of two genders, men and women. There isn't anything in the Quran that shows Allah favors man over woman. There isn't anything in Quran, if we read it carefully and we interpret it the right way. You know, this Quran could be interpreted many ways. Many ways. Some people interpret the Quran the way they please. There are limits and guidelines that rule interpreting Quran. Therefore, if we interpret Quran the right way, and when I say the right way, I mean by that we go through the legitimate channels that Allah and His apostles had appointed and assigned to interpret Quran for us, and those are the family of the Prophet, the 12 revered Imams who were appointed by Allah to interpret Quran for us. This is what I mean by a legitimate interpretation of Quran. Now, if you go to Quran and you go to the legitimate interpretation of this holy text, you don't find anything that is biased against women. Anything in the Quran. Yet, you can find it in other books. It is in the Torah. It is in the Old Testament that puts the blame, places the blame for Adam's expulsion from heaven on Eve. You read the Quran. There isn't anything in the Quran when Allah speaks about Adam's expulsion of heaven that places blame on woman, on Eve. Allah believes it was mainly his responsibility, Adam's responsibility for his expulsion of heaven. Of course, that's a totally different subject. I don't want to get into that. Probably another night we will speak about that subject. But tonight, what I'm trying to do is to show you that Islam has been so progressive, fair, and objective once dealing with women issue in the Quran. Having said that, I cannot deny the fact that Muslim women around the world have been occasionally oppressed by their husbands, by their fathers, by their brothers, by their male members of their family. I don't deny that fact. Nobody denies that. Nobody denies that there are probably hundreds of thousands of Muslim women who live miserable lives with their husbands. No doubt that there are hundreds of thousands of women who are mistreated by their, probably, fathers, by their brothers. But the key question here is this due to Islamic teachings? Is this what Islam tells them? We have to understand that our personality is shaped, is made up of a few factors. One of them is our religion. One of them is our culture, the way we were raised. One of them is the society that we live in, which is one reflection of our culture. People we hang around with, people who have deep influence in our psyche. So, it's not only religion that always makes up our personality. Religion could be one of them. And therefore, there could be other factors. The traditions and customs, norms, for example, play a major role on how we think, the way we deem things, the way we view other people, other issues. So, I don't deny that there are many women in the Muslim world, as well as Western world, who are mistreated by their husbands or other male members of their family. But that doesn't mean it is their religion that instructs them to do that. As a matter of fact, Islam, especially when you read the early history of Islam, what do you find? It's so amazing how Islam succeeded in this transformation and transforming the Arab mind. Before Islam, women and a newborn baby, female baby, used to be buried alive. Hundreds of thousands of female babies were buried alive right after their birth. And Islam, Allah in the Quran condemns this phenomena with the strongest terms. Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. When one of them is told about the arrival of a new female, his face turns dark. مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. From the terrible news, horrible news he got. أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. Allah describes their situation. How a man would react when he is told that your wife has given birth to a female baby. أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ. Should he maintain this child with agony and stigma? أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. Or he should bury him or bury her. Then Allah says, سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. What a terrible judgment they have made. What a terrible mentality those people had. This is one example. One example. The Prophet ﷺ was sitting with his companions. When one of his companions, he was chatting with his companions, when one of them was approached by a man who entered the masjid and whispered in his ear. This companions turned dark. His face turned dark. And the Prophet asked that companion, what happened? Can you tell me? What's up? Why you look so troubled? The man says, Ya Rasulullah, I left my home while my wife was due. She was about to deliver a baby. And I left the home. And this man came to tell me, before he finishes his sentence, the Prophet says, tell you what, she died? He says, no, she didn't die. Said, so what? What happened? He said that she delivered a baby who's a girl, a female baby. And the Prophet was stunned. The Prophet said, and is that why your face turned dark? He says, yes. قال سبحان الله. Shame on you. الأرض تقلها. الأرض تقلها. والسماء ترزقها. وهي بعد ذلك رحمة لك. Why you fear having a female baby? Allah will sustain her. It's not you who will sustain her. She is a rahmah for you. She can be mercy for you. Why are you so troubled by the news of having a baby, a female baby? And I can go on with you and tell you of many examples on how objective Islam was with women. One woman came to the Prophet saying, Ya Rasulullah, ذهب الرجال بالأجر كله. Men took all the rewards. He says, how? She says, because when I read Quran, I see Allah speaks about jihad and mujahideen. Struggle in the way of Allah and those who struggle in the way of Allah. And we know that jihad is the job of men. Men do jihad in the battlefield. They defend Islam, they go to the battlefield, and they are the mujahideen. They are the one who defend Islam and their land. And Allah had promised the mujahideen, those who do jihad in His way, He promised them so much reward. So what do we get then? We women cannot do jihad. The Prophet smiled. He says, jihadul mar'ati husnu taba'ul. Who told you that women can't do jihad or can't have jihad? They do have jihad. They can practice jihad. But their jihad, their form of jihad differs with men. Men's jihad is to take the sword and go to the battlefield and defend Islam. But their jihad is husnu taba'ul. Good parenting. Being a good wife. Being a good mother to her children. This is her jihad. Each one, each gender has a specific form of jihad. So jihad is not confined into men. It also extends to women. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, I want to go back to this issue of today. A woman leading the prayer. Mixed prayer. First of all, you noticed that this issue received a nationwide attention. Almost all our media outlets in this country had focused on that issue. They even showed clips of that lady leading the prayer. It had been the subject of the press and the media for the day and probably for months to come. There was an article today in New York Times about it. Why is that? I ask you, why is that? Why this issue receives so much attention? There are thousands of men leading Friday prayer in America. None of them got that attention. No media outlet covered any of their Friday prayer. One woman led a prayer and there was such big uproar and commotion in our country. Why is that? Why is that? It shows, first of all, that our media is so sensational. They look for anything controversial to speak about it, to cover it. This is their job. That anything controversial. Do you know what is number one subject in the media today? I'm sure you all watch TVs today. What is the most important subject that our media speak about? Michael Jackson's molestation of boys. It seems that America those days have no business, nothing to do, but to be busy with Michael Jackson's private area. That's all they do. You read the most respected newspapers. I always read New York Times. You read the most respected newspapers in the country. You find articles, pages that talk in details about what this guy did to that boy. And they go in details. So obnoxious, limitless, and shameless way of speaking about those embarrassing issues. And there are millions of teenagers who can have access to the media, who can have access to newspapers, and they can read all this nasty stuff in our media, in our newspapers. This shows that it's not about woman progression. It's not about Muslim American women leading the way, setting the example for other women. In the word as New York Times stated today. It's not about that. It's about showing us that you Muslims have a ridiculous faith. We show you the meaning of freedom. We show it to you here in America. We can pick a woman for you who can lead the prayer for you. Now, I want to explain this to you, why we oppose women leading a prayer. Even though that I'm against making a big issue out of it. Because we don't want to fall in the same trap they fell in. But we have to clarify issues for our people at least. I was asked by some media outlet to comment on this and I refused. I don't think our job is to engage in such nasty conversation and nasty discussion. I don't think this is our job. That aims at making big deal out of ridiculous issues. But the answer is this. And I mentioned that a while ago. Last week, I couldn't come to the YMA and I was supposed to come here because I had another commitment, I was supposed to speak in a church in Sterling Heights. I said, the reason that women cannot lead mixed congregation, like Salatul Jum'ah or any other congregational prayer, is not because Islam favors men over women. It is a technical issue. A technical issue that has to do with women's modesty and with the modesty of the society. When the imam leads the prayer, we all, when we pray, we stand up, then we bow down, we bend over, and then we go to the ground and we prostrate. Christians don't do this. When the Christians pray, they do the cross on their chest, or they utter a few words. But the way we Muslims pray differs with the way they do. Now, is it appropriate for a woman to lead the prayer while bowing down, bending over, going down on the ground and prostrating? Is this a modest scene? Being in the front of a bunch of men prostrating? Which woman likes to see herself in that situation? All the way in the front, and there are hundreds of men behind her, watching her while she is bowing down, or while she is prostrating. Which woman likes to do that? Other than the lady who did it today in New York. I don't think most of our ladies, our sisters, would like to be seen that way. It is immodest. But this has nothing to do with Islam favoring men over women. It's a technical issue. It has to do with the way, you know, Islam is very, very sensitive over modesty. You know, it says when women pray, they go to prostration, it is mustahab that they keep their arms within. While the man, it is mustahab that he opens his arm. Why is that? Because when you open your arm, it is a display of your body. When you put your hand inward, you are trying as much as you can not to display your body. And because the body of woman could be a symbol of temptation and beauty and attraction, Islam says it is not the right time to do that in Salah. Salah is not a place where you focus on things that may distract you. So, it is a technical issue. It has nothing to do with Islam being a progressive or not. I was reading some books, actually, in Arabic. And they are also critical of some of the Islamic interpretations, a hadith. So, there is a word that was attributed to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha. They are quoting Imam Ali saying, "Al-mar'atu sharrun kulluha, wa sharru ma fiha, annahu la budda minha." Woman is all evil, and the most terrible part is وَشَرُّ مَا فِيهَا, the most terrible thing in her is she is a necessity. It's a necessary evil. She is a necessary evil. This is what the quotation says. Now, there have been long arguments over what Imam Ali means by that. There have been long, long arguments. My comment on this, that Imam Ali never said that. Imam Ali would never say this. The Imam would never say such thing on women. Wasn't he given birth by a woman? Wasn't he married to Sayyidati Nisa al-Alameen, the most perfect woman Allah had created, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam? The Imam would never say this. In my research, I found this quotation to be attributed to Aristotle. It's not Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. And there are many other evidence that Imam Ali ibn Abi, that Islam would not say such thing. I found one author commenting on this hadith, Al-Mar'atu Sharrun Kulluha. Woman with A, not with E. Now, he says that the imam means a specific woman. A specific woman. He doesn't mean all women. And I really cannot go beyond that. Probably some of you may get it. The imam, and, well, I can shed some light probably. I cannot be very open. The imam was tested by Allah when a woman challenged him and she caused a big tragedy in the history of Islam. She caused the death, the demise of over 23,000 Muslims. So one author, I found him to be interpreting this hadith as the imam is speaking about one woman, one specific woman. The imam is not speaking about women in general. Now, this is this author's opinion. I'm not sure how authentic this could be, but I'm telling you what, it holds some water though, but I cannot be definitive on the interpretation of this hadith if the imam has said it. But my personal feeling, and according to the research I did, this is not what Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam said. And there is another lady who says in her book that even Islam has been biased. And every time you read the word, look how sometimes superficial the criticism could be. She says, of course she is a prominent feminist. She says that every time you read Quran, Allah mentions the word Allah, it is masculine. Huwa. It is He referring to Allah. So, Islam chooses Allah to be what? Well, Huwa, He, doesn't mean that Islam believes that Allah is a man. Astaghfirullah. Allah is genderless. Allah is not a man, neither a woman. Allah is genderless. But the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Quran uses the pronoun he, huwa, which means he, because this is the way the Arabic language works. In the Arabic language, we have feminist nouns and masculine ones. And this is how the structure of the Arabic language works. And all names, all nouns actually, they are divided into feminine or feminist and some to masculine. For example, when an Arab man speaks about the sun, he says he, she. And when he speaks about the moon, he says he. So in the Arabic language, sun is viewed as feminine noun, while the moon is a masculine one. Does that mean the moon is a man and the sun is a woman? No. This is nonsense if we believe so. Allah's name, the word Allah, is referred by He. That doesn't mean Allah is a man. And Quran was revealed in Arabic language. Allah chose the Arabic language to be the manifestation of Allah's words. That doesn't mean Allah is biased and He chooses a masculine name for Himself. This is totally illogical. My dear brothers and sisters, since 9/11, and even before, Islam has been in corner. Islam has been constantly attacked by certain people who enjoy doing so, just to show the world that Islam is a backward religion. It is woman-demeaning religion. It is a religion that is in conflict with the Western civilization and etc., etc. But the reality is, and they use women to prove their point. Now, I want to show you what they say, what the Western scholars say about women. And I got you this book. You can buy it from Barnes and Nobles or any chain, bookstore chains in this country. This book, which is called 20,000 Quips and Quotes by Ivan Issar. You go to the section where it speaks about brief quotations on everything, including women. I was reading this tonight. I went through it. There are hundreds of quotations about women by Westerner philosophers. I found 95% of those quotes to be anti-woman and demeaning to women. Only 5% who were either pro-woman or neutral. They were neutral. You can go yourself and either buy the book or take it and look. But I will quote you few quotes. He says, this is by Ed Hugh. He says, a bad woman raises hell with a good many men, while a good woman raises hell with only one. That's one. Another one says, next to the wound, what women are best at making is the bandage. Another one, I'm just showing you, I don't believe, I'm not really here to, we don't believe in those quotations, but I'm just showing you what those scholars say. That was for Barbie or Vili, or Barbie or Vili. Another one by Joseph Conrad. He says, being a woman is a terribly difficult task since it consists principally in dealing with men. This is probably pro-woman. We come to another one. It says, it is the nature of woman not to love when we love them, and to love when we love them not. Another one says, it says, to be a woman is something so strange, so confusing, and so complicated that only a woman could put up with. Another one, this is by Kirk Jarrett. He says, another one by Burris. He says, he gets on best with women who knows how to get on without them. Another one, and I finish with that because it's a long list. He says, next to the dinosaur, woman is nature's most outstanding failure. By I.A.R. Wiley. Do you like to listen to more of what those philosophers say? Sisters don't like to hear that anymore. Brothers are enjoying that. Don't do that. There is another one. He says, it takes a magician to saw, S-A-O, to saw a woman in half. But it takes a husband to make her go to pieces. There are many other, most of them are insulting, really. And I don't want to really mention them because I don't think that's appropriate. I'm just telling you some of them just to show you that how Westerner philosophers think about women. It is not Islam. You know what Islam says? Islam says, "Al-mar'atu rayhana, walaysat biqahramana." Every time, you know, sometimes you see wrestling in the TV. One time I was watching one of those programs, wrestling in the TV, and I was stunned to know that those wrestling guys who are wrestling with each other, they were not men, they were women. Immediately I remember the hadith of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says, "Al-mar'atu rayhana." Women are flowers. وَلَيْسَتْ بِقَهْرَمَانَ. She's not a wrestler. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given women so much affection, so much love, so much passion, that you need to deal with them delicately. They are flowers. You see, when you take flower, you smell it delicately. And وَلَيْسَتْ بِقَهْرَمَانَ. She's not a wrestler. You think you're a wrestler. You could be a wrestler. Because many men have masculine mind. And they think that women are men too. And they deal with them based on the concept of that they are women. They are men. They are not. They cannot take the hardship you take. The brutality some men take. And believe me, no wonder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the task of raising kids, which is a very delicate and difficult job, to men, to women, not to men. You know, how many of you have babies at home? Men, raise your head. Raise your hand, not your head. Only one? Okay, we have a few. How many of you sisters have baby at home? Okay. When a baby wakes up at night, who gets up and takes care of the baby? Huh? I know some of you do. Some of the men do that. But I guess every 10 times or 5 times the baby wakes up, the man would take care of him once or twice, and the rest of the times, 8 or 10 times, the mother would do that job. Because this is her nature. If a man does it, he does it because why? I'm being very honest with you. Huh? Because he has to. Otherwise, he may pay the price for it. But when the mother does it, she does it spontaneously. She does it out of love. She enjoys taking care of her baby. You pass by a baby with his diaper. The mother is changing his diaper. You put your hand on your nose. You don't like to smell that baby. His mother is enjoying him. Believe me. It smells fragrance. I'm not saying this sarcastically. But only her baby, no other baby. If she smells another baby, she will be disgusted too. As you are disgusted. But when she smells her own baby, she is never disgusted. And if you, as a father, express your disgust, she will be mad at you. She will be upset. You're offending her. This is the nature of a mother that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given her, to be so affectionate, so loving. But I have to admit one thing before I conclude. Yes, there are certain ahadith in our books, in our Islamic books, that are demeaning to women. There are. But I have to be honest with you that those ahadith have never been quoted or narrated by Ahlul Bayt, by the family of the Prophet. See, when you read a hadith narrated by certain Muslims from the Prophet, we must understand and we must study who narrates the hadith. Who heard the hadith of the Prophet? There could be some honest people, honest individual, true ones, who heard it from the Prophet and they documented it for me and you. So we come and we read it. And there are many unauthentic ahadith who were forged, made up, and then they were attributed to the Prophet. 2 years ago in Hajj, while I was in Hajj, I saw a big poster in Mecca. Big poster. Inshallah you will go, but this year I checked, it wasn't there. The poster wasn't there. The poster promotes charity. So, what was the method of promoting charity? It quotes hadith from the Prophet. Who is the narrator? The narrator is Abu Huraira. You all know who Abu Huraira is. You laugh here, but believe me, there are over 1 billion Muslims who believe that this is a great man who sanctified Abu Huraira, who believe Abu Huraira was a pious man. Now, you see the big poster on the wall, Abu Huraira narrating from the Prophet, who says, Ya ma'ashir al-nisa, tasaddaqn, fa'inni wajadtu aktharakunna min ahli al-nar. Allahu Akbar. The hadith, the alleged hadith, which is not true at all. It is not an authentic hadith. But this is how they believe in Mecca. It's in a big poster. It narrates the Prophet saying to women, Ma'ashir al-nisa, O you women, tasaddaqn, pay a lot of charity, for I found most of you are going to hell. Now the simple question is this, that if they are supposed to go to hell, then why they give charity? What's going to change if they give charity? So if I'm supposed to go to hell, why I should give charity then? That's number one. Why the majority of them go to hell? Why? You know, there is a study in America, and a female author, I forgot her name, I read this article over 10 years ago. It says that the American government must impose a new tax on men. She calls it the disciplinary tax. Why? She says 99% of our inmates and prisoners are men. There are 1.9 prisoners in the United States. Why women should pay their taxes, their money? Why women should pay taxes to cover their expenses? Let men pay their taxes to cover their expenses. In other words, what she's trying to say is that in America, crime is a man's job. Why women should pay for the prisoners? Most of the crimes are committed by men. 99% of our prisoners, as well as the prisoners of the entire globe, are men, not women. You know, those kind of ahadith, that really sometimes makes me so sick. Those kind of false ahadith give ammunition to the enemies of Islam to stab Islam with. Give a lot of charity, for I found most of you will go to hell. Now, the Nabiul Rahmah would say this. Can you believe that the Prophet of Mercy, the Prophet who came to rescue the mankind, came to give honor and respect to women, would say that? Can you imagine that? I think I'm done here because time is over. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك على كل شيء قدير والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته